Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. If you hadn't caught up on your Bible reading today, you can do it right here, because we're going to read quite a few verses here. But we're dealing today with a father who followed God. And can't think of a better example than of Abraham, a powerful man of God that God used in a wonderful way, that God made wonderful promises to the world and to me and you, that through his lineage, eventually Christ would come to be the Savior of the world. Well, let's notice Genesis 22 and 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to his father to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together, and they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the child or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide, or Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. Father, I ask your blessings over the ministry of the Word of God today. May your will be done. God, talk to the hearts of people as only you can do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have in the story today a father who followed God. He was a man of God who followed after the ways of God. Here he was in a strange country and a people of a strange language. He didn't stay that way, but it was at the time. And so God had told him to go here to the land of Canaan. He said, I'm going to give you and all your descendants this land forever. Man. And so thank God for a father who followed God. One of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Because you see, a father protects, a father provides, a father restrains, a father corrects, and a father loves. And as I stay here, as I'm here today saying these things, I realize not everyone has had a good father. Much of the crime in our nation is because there is no father figure in the home. No example set for the youth. Yet there is a perfect father we can trust, and that is God. We can believe his word, his promises. He's a father who never will lead us astray. A father who keeps his word. A father who is not abusive, but a father who loves, cares, provides, and a father who can be trusted, and that's God, the Father. As a matter of fact, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray," the first thing he said, "Okay, pray like this." He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so he taught them to pray and first of all addressed his heavenly Father. Let me make it clear here that God is eternal. God never began, will never end. Jesus, the Son of God, is eternal, will never begin and never end, or never began and will never end. Holy Spirit is eternal as well. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. First of all, we'll look at the Father's test here. And since Abraham was to be the father of many nations, he would have to be obedient to God. But it says here that God tested Abraham. And so we have a tested father here. And God said to Abraham, and Abraham said, "Here am I." And he makes a request. He says, "Take your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now, Abraham was a man that followed God, loved his family, and provided well for his family, and protected his family. And he was promised he would have a son, and all the nations through him would be blessed. And we know that eventually that was fulfilled through Christ, the Son of God, where that people through Christ could become children of God. And that was a fulfillment, and is being the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, "And I'll make many nations out of you, and all the world will be blessed because of you." And all these nations would come through him. In chapter 18, verse 11. "Now Abraham and Sarah were old." Amen. Don't get offended if you're old. I am too. "And they're well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed in herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' And the Lord said to Abram, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I bear a child whom, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh, for she was afraid.' And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" Okay, so can't get it past God. And so this was faith in operation here. You know, faith without works is dead, but a real faith does work. Amen. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance." And like some of us, he went out not knowing where he was going. And don't ride in road rage in that. Anyway. So he went out, being led by God, and he was promised this land. And God told him in one place, says, "Look up to the heavens and you can see the stars," and said, "Your descendants will be more plenteous than these." But Abraham, he sojourned or traveled in this land as a stranger, but a land God had promised to him and to his descendants forever. And God's never going to give up his land. I know there are threats today. There's people that tried to overtake Israel. There's people that have tried to destroy the Jew completely from Europe. They failed. There's still a nation called Israel today. Amen. And the Bible says, "For the Christian, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces." So God tells us to pray for Israel. That's who he brought the Savior through. Praise God. So we have a father's test here, and God says, "I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer up your only son, whom you love, in the land of Moriah, on one of the hills which I will tell you." And here we don't find Abraham arguing with God. And I can say that I can think Abraham was saying, you know, "God, we've waited for many years. Here I am 90 and I'm 100 and Sarah is 90. You've It's a miracle to get him here to start with, and you're asking me to offer him up as a sacrifice? But let's notice Abraham's immediate response. Verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Okay? So immediately Abraham obeyed God, even though the request from God seemed impossible and seemed wrong probably. He had asked for many years to have this child, and he was able to ask God, and now God asked him to offer up his only son. And that was a hard thing. If you put yourself in that place, to offer up your son as a burnt offering, and at a burnt offering, the lamb it was supposed to be would be completely slaughtered and burned up. In the natural, this was unthinkable because God was and is against human sacrifice. And surely Abraham remembered the young child, Isaac, remembered playing with him, talking to Isaac about God, doing things you do with a child. Amen. Playing with, I don't know, we used to play with pieces, blocks of wood and called them cars. I don't know, I guess they called them donkeys then. Anyway, he did what a child would do. But Abraham had something called faith. He journeyed in faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 8, or chapter 11, verses 19, 18 and 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, whom he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, Isaac and your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able even to raise him up from the dead. And so Abraham had faith that whatever happened, his son was going to live. He's going to be all right. But it sure didn't seem that way. Okay, in the natural, this is unthinkable, surely. He remembered all the times with his children. I had a dream last night. I don't have very many dreams. Most of them are so off the wall, you couldn't say it was from God. But I had a dream last night that I dreamed that there was a little baby missing somewhere. And in my dream, and I tell you, in my dream, that I knew that there was a helpless child, hidden somewhere that needed help. I couldn't hear the child, but I remember in my dream, I got next to the ground, and there was a box against the ground, and I pulled it out, and there was a little baby inside. And the little baby cried, and I got him and delivered him to the authorities in my dream. And I don't know, I'm not saying it's a true dream, but it was very moving to me because it was a dream. And so surely Abraham valued his child. They played together, they walked together, they traveled together. And then God says, I want you to go to the land of Moriah, I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering for me. Now, it would take 3 days for them to go to the land of Moriah and reach the mountain which God had told him of. And this, perhaps, was the three most difficult days of Abraham's life. And I'm sure step by step, as he traveled this 3 days, it was the most difficult 3 days forever. Because he knew what he was going to do. He knew what God had said, what God had ordered. He didn't argue with God and say, God, are you sure about this? No. Well, he may have, but he didn't say it in Scripture that he did. But this land, this Mount of Moriah, it's thought to be the same mountain on one of the hills of Jerusalem on which Solomon built the temple. On the spot once occupied by the threshing floor of Oren the Jebusite, 2 Chronicles 3:1, if you're interested in that. The Jews themselves believed that the altar of burnt offering in the temple stood upon the very site of the altar on which Abraham intended to offer up his son. And this same place, not very far away, when God would offer up his only begotten son from you and me so that we could be saved. So we see Abraham was tested greatly, but he was obedient. He was an obedient father. He just got up and went the next day to do what God told him to do. And so he was a father of obedience to his heavenly Father. Next of all, we see Heavenly Father's provision. Abraham saw the place. He spoke in faith. 22 and 5. Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So he knew that God was able to do something miraculous if he was to offer his only son. No doubt expected him to be raised from the dead. He saw this place. He spoke in faith. And there was a great question that come to Abraham here. And Isaac, no doubt, was familiar with the sacrificial offerings and what they stood for. But Isaac speaks to his father, verse 7 of our text. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but Dad, we're missing one thing. Where is the lamb for this burnt sacrifice, the burnt offering?" The two of them went together. Okay? And Isaac knew what was needed, but he says, "Where's the lamb?" I can't help this. Take me back to the New Testament where John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day and it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so we know that the Lamb of God, Christ, would be offered up on the altar of the cross and be the final offering for sin that could be offered. But here, Abraham, he built the altar, and he placed the wood in order, and Isaac, his son, was bound. And this was complete obedience. And there is no record here of Isaac's resistance. And you would think, well, Isaac might say, "Lord, you know, Father, you're not going to do that to me." But he didn't. There's no record of Isaac's resistance at all. Abraham bound his son to the altar, and he stretched out his hand with a knife, ready to sacrifice his son, to ram his knife through the heart of his only son and offer him up as a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And then God speaks from heaven. Verses 11 and 12. "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the child or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" And so God speaks, and he was testing Abraham here. But you know, here was a father who stood the test, showing that he would be obedient to God regardless of what God asked him to do. God calls to him out of heaven. No doubt a voice. This was the voice that created the heaven and the earth. It calls to Abraham. Abraham couldn't have said, "I didn't hear you, God." Surely he heard him. And it was pointed out to Abraham that there was a ram caught in the thicket. And God had provided a lamb, a ram, for the sacrifice. And so Abraham took the ram caught in the thicket and offered it in the place instead of his son. When God offered his son, Jesus, there was no other alternative. There was no great angel. There was no person that was capable of atoning for the sins of the whole world, for every man had sinned. Only one. There was nothing. There was no substitute. God offered his only son. Allowed him to be crucified on the cross, allowed him to shed his blood to atone for our sins, and the perfect Lamb of God, sinless Lamb of God, offered up his sinless blood, which is the only blood that God would accept. And God accepted that. In the book of Romans, it tells us there that God actually spared nothing for our salvation. Tell you something, God went to every extent for us to be saved. God did not want anyone to die and go to hell. God wanted people to be born again, to be saved, and on their way to heaven. Because, as you see, everybody you see every day, they're on their way to one of two places, heaven or hell. I don't find any alternative place in Scripture besides heaven or hell. And it's God's plan for you to be saved and go to heaven. But you got to make a choice on who you're going to serve. And so in Romans 8:32, it tells us there that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we see that God spared nothing for my soul and for yours, knowing that we would all spend eternity somewhere, and it was God's will for us to be saved and spend eternity with him in his heaven. My friend, that's a choice I want to make, that I did make, have made many years ago. Many of you have made. Everybody should make. God, I want you. I want to be with you in heaven. I want to share in your eternity. And God has promised that to you and I. Amen. Whosoever will take Christ and receive his work on the cross for us, God has eternal plans for you. Amen. He's an eternal God. He's never going to quit. He's never going to end. My friend, if you're born again of his Spirit, you are resurrected to spiritual life and will spend forever with him in his holy heaven. That's the choice I want to make. The alternative is to reject God and reject the cross and reject Christ and spend eternity in a devil's hell. Doesn't take a smart person to realize which one of them is the best. But we want to be with God forever. And I want to tell you, we have God the Father today. He can be trusted as our provider. He's never been without. He's never done without. He's not able. He's never been to the place where he didn't know what to do. He knows what to do. He knows all things. He knows everything. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means God will see or provide. And God provides when things seem hopeless. And I know a lot of things in our country, our world today, seem hopeless. It seems like Congress don't have the answer, not that they ever did. And it seems like they surely don't today. And they can't tell the difference between this, that, and the other. They can't tell the difference between light and dark, or man and woman. I realize I could hammer on that for a while, but I won't. But he provides hope when things seem hopeless. And there have been times in your life, if you're honest with me, that things in your life looked hopeless. Amen. But they never were hopeless if Christ reigned on your heart. It may seem like it wasn't going to work out, but God knows it will work out. And God made promises us in the New Testament. Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need, not all your wants, because everything we want is not necessarily good for us, but all of our need is needful, and God is going to supply our need. He's promised that. And God promises to provide encouragement and grace in time of need. I know you've been discouraged before. You've been discouraged. The things I tried never seemed to work out. Amen. Why don't you try God's way? Why don't you try giving your life to Christ? Why don't you say, God, here am I. Here is my heart. Here's my life. I want you. I need you to direct my steps. I've made a failure of it myself, but you don't fail, God, and I put you in charge of my life. That's what we need. So God provides encouragement. He provides grace in time of need, favor in time of need. And God provides eternal hope, eternal love, and eternal security for you and I. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't save you or start just to get you started here and there. God intended to finish the work which started in you. And you say, well, I'm okay, I don't need any work, I'm fine just the way I am. No, we're not fine just the way we are. We got to have God. We've got to have him to straighten us up. You say, well, I can't straighten myself up enough. You're right, you can't. God can straighten you up. God can purge you. God can purify you. God can forgive your sins and make you ready for heaven. And the alternative is not any good. You don't want to go to an eternal hell, a devil's hell, and be there and burn forever. You don't want to do that. You want to go to God's heaven because God's made it perfectly possible for you to be saved. And it's his will that none perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. And your security is based on what you've done with Christ. Amen. Not what some preacher told you, but what God has done for you. Hallelujah.